Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marty, and you're joining me and Hannah today for Rest Then Run. Why and how to build in Sabbath rest. So we're going to be talking about why and how I started taking Sabbath rest back in 1997 and what happened after that. Also, how to define a Sabbath rest, the benefits and pathway toward building this habit into your lifestyle, how to start without feeling lazy or bored, how rest relates to other spiritual disciplines, and how to address common excuses like, I'd never get anything done, or I have a big family and the kids have soccer games every weekend, or I can't take Sundays off, or I'm a pastor, or whatever. Our guest today is Hannah Rowan Fry. She's passionate about helping people live into their God purpose, and her thoughtful reflections on scripture invite readers to slow down, choose simplicity, and experience greater joy. Her website is over at HannahRowanFry.com, and you could also invite her to speak via WomenSpeakers.com. Super excited to welcome you here. Hi, Hannah.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you. It's such a fun way to kick off the new year.
It is. And one of the things I like to remember is that God says, you know, that in the creation story, it was evening and it was morning and then it was the second day or whatever. He always starts with rest and then goes into the day, into the work day. Mm-hmm. And I think in our culture, we kind of have that flipped upside down.
That's so true. It seems like most of the way our society works is for work. And then rest is just something you get after you work hard for 30 years.
You hope you can do it. Right.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's really a part of our regular routine, our day, like you're saying, but also a really intentional part of our week is to have these Sabbath rests that God asked us to do. So I'm excited to talk about that today.
Yeah, I want to just start with a little background because I was excited about this topic and we've had it on before, but it's so important that we could have it on many times. So back in 1997, God was asking me to do something that I simply didn't have time to do. My platter was, so full. And anybody who knows me knows I'm always busy about God's work, doing stuff. And I was just like, I kept saying, I want to do it. It's not that I don't want to do it. I just don't see how. It would take about 10 hours a week. And I just didn't have 10 hours a week to give. And so finally, I was like, okay, it doesn't go away. So clearly time is of no consequence to God. So I said, okay, God, I'm just going to say yes to this. But in order to do so, I have to have time be of no consequence to me. So I put away my watch and I put away my clocks. And the only clocks we had in the house were there was a clock beside my husband's bed and there was the clock on the microwave. Other than that, all the clocks were gone. And I just had to go forward listening to Holy Spirit. At the same time as that came into my life, God asked me to do a full day of rest every week. So this was like a double whammy. And it was so intense. It took me 6 weeks or longer. It was about 6 weeks to learn how to hear from God at this new level of necessity. Because I would like think he was getting me up and I'd get up and I'd take my shower and I'd get dressed and I'd go in the living room, sit in my prayer chair. And after a while I'd be like, yeah, it's still dark. It's everybody's still sleeping. And I'd walk in the kitchen. It'd be like 2 a.m. And I was like, whoa, that wasn't you waking me up. You know, I got to listen better, you know, but it's like we're small children learning to hear a voice we haven't been listening for. And it really taught me to listen to God. And there are so many miracle stories that happened during that time. But I have to tell you that those 6 weeks were really intense because I just was getting very poor sleep. I was just like learning how to sleep, learning how to rest in the middle of this chaos. You know, that was now this new way of life that has become just this beautiful, beautiful, smooth rhythm. But the day of rest thing, that one by itself was so big. And what happened was we ended up buying a restaurant and a retail store on top of everything else. Oh, wow. We were homeschooling and the speaking and the writing and all this. And I really feel like if God hadn't already scheduled me and that I could listen closely to him and that I would take a day every week and just rest. I think I'd be dead, Hannah, because it was so, there was 14 years there that were so intense, literally we would work until sometimes 2-3 in the morning and then get up in the next morning and go at it again. Owning businesses like a retail store and a restaurant is super intense, not including all the other stuff. So I am so grateful that God has a pattern for us that we can follow here. And it's like, to me, it's like tithing. Like when you tithe, how you have the same amount of money the next month, but it just goes farther somehow. And that's how it is with rest. That's how it is with rest too. So I'm excited to dive into what you have prepared for us, because I know that this is just a heart topic for you too. So let's start with a definition of a Sabbath rest.
Sure. So I, when I was growing up, I kind of understood Sabbath as this like day off, right, where you kind of don't do anything. And as I've come into adulthood, I've realized it's so much more than that. And it does kind of take a little bit of practice to craft your Sabbath. But basically, Sabbath is a 24-hour day of rest and rejuvenation focused on abiding in Jesus, worship, honoring your limits, you know, accepting who God made you to be, bearing image to the God who also rested. But really setting work, whether that's work at home, bill paying, cleaning, you know, those kinds of things, or your professional vocation, checking your emails even, setting all of that aside for the sake of worship, for the sake of abiding, for the sake of being who God made you to be first before doing anything. And it really goes hand in hand with the working hard, the other, you know, part of the week. But that rest is really something that even pastors I see struggle with quite a bit. And I just would love for everyone to embrace it just a little bit more of what would it look like to have a day off per week solely focused on who you are and who God is and not on what you do.
Yeah. And I know for me too, you know, people are like, well, that's an Old Testament law or whatever. And it's like, it is, however, did God feel like it was a valuable thing enough to add it to the Ten Commandments? Like, have you started just lying all the time now because we're in the New Testament? You know, no. Right. I mean, it's like all those other rules are still good. So, you know, I feel like if we're going to truly accomplish in our lives what God has purposed before he created us, the work that he assigned for us to do before we were created, then we have to do it his way, or we're gonna crash and burn. And I love the rest. So from your perspective, some benefits and a pathway to build this into our lives then.
Sure. Well, let me touch on the Old Testament piece of it real quick too, because I think that was another sort of myth I think I thought about it growing up, is it was like, you know, it's listed in that part where don't let your donkey be at your neighbor's, you know, all those crazy things that just don't make much sense. But as I've studied the character of God more and understood who he was, you know, in Genesis 1, he's revealed to us as creator, and he rested. And it's a part of who he is from Genesis 1. And if we're made in his image, then it's a part of who we are too. So I agree. It can be kind of confusing when you have all these sort of ancient lists that don't really make sense. But then when you see it in the character context, and also in the New Testament, where Jesus talked about Sabbath quite a bit too, then you realize, wait, this might still be something for today. This might not just be one of those laws of antiquity. And I think understanding that kind of helped me to understand the benefits of it, sort of transitioning into our next question here, because I really did for a long time just thought it was a day off. And I'm like, well, I take a vacation, that's a day off. I take, you know, whatever, but it's not that same style of day off. Like, it's not just taking your PTO to go to your orthodontist appointment, right? And I feel like so much of our culture does that. When we use our days off, they're still for other things. Mm-hmm. They're for taking care of something, and not just for being.
For soul benefit, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so we're still working at them for a specific reason instead of really focused on abiding in Christ and allowing him to transform us from the inside out.
Yeah, I love that. So what helped you to start, like when you were thinking about it and you're like, yeah, how do I fit that into my life?
There's a few great resources, luckily today, that really helped to transform my thinking. One is a very popular book by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He really does a good job of explaining what Sabbath is, why rest is missing, and the detriments. And he put in all of the scientific research and all those things. So I think that's a good starting place. But also, just doing it, like just starting it, just putting it on your calendar, putting it on your schedule, no resources, no agenda, but just marking it in your calendar and treating it as important as you would a business meeting or a doctor's appointment, and just see what happens. You know, it's kind of like the first time you do anything, you don't really know what to expect. You don't really know what's going into it. And obviously you should plan some for it, but ultimately just doing it is a good place to start. See how, at the end of the day, how did you feel? Did you feel like you were lazy? Why did you feel like you were lazy? Kind of start asking some of those questions. Did you feel like you met with God in a new way? How was that? Is that something that you can maybe schedule or plan for better next time? And just really start to try and trial and error and see what
happens.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's lots of different ways we connect with God and lots of different ways we can worship God. It's not just through reading scripture, praying, listening to a sermon. You know, you can go for a walk, be surrounded by nature. You can paint and draw and be creative. You can even cooking for your family or making something with your hands, you know, and kind of getting in touch with that creative side of you. There's so many things we can do to connect with God. And I would just encourage people to just kind of start that and see what happens in their Sabbath day.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And one of the things that I do too is I just kind of have in my own head a sense of what feels like work to me and what doesn't feel like work to me. So for somebody else, something I am doing to rest may be work. But for me, it's rest. And so I think just to be really okay to explore, experiment, just check in with God, you know, just ask, what do you think about if I did this or that? I mean, it was funny because just yesterday I was going to, one of the things on my list to do yesterday, and I do this almost every week now, is I have a mini retreat with God somewhere between 1 and 4 hours. I just go somewhere other than my office and I just sit with a journal. I don't take any technology with me. I just sit with a journal and I just spend time with God. Yesterday morning on my list of things to do yesterday was retreat with God. And then I was so excited about that because I always love those. And then I got a call and it was an invitation to go with somebody really close to me and just hang out, like just be with them. And I replied right away, texted back. I'm not sure if that can work today. I'll get back to you in a few minutes. And I just checked in with God and he's like, that is your retreat with me today, is being with them. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. So I wouldn't have expected that answer. I would have expected that God would tightly hold on to that, you know, him and me time and not want anybody else in there with me and him. But yesterday he did, actually. So I think to just have an open hands about this and don't make it be like somebody else's. Yeah. It's just you and God. It's your relationship.
Yes, it's so true. And really, for me, I like to do the things that bring me the most joy, because the things that bring me the most joy are the things who God made me to enjoy. Right. You know, so I like to sleep in, I like to have a fun breakfast, I like to do puzzles. And then most of the time I do like to be alone, but just like you're saying, sometimes I do want to be with other people. You know, there are certain people in my life who I really do get a lot of rejuvenation from. They really pour into me and into my faith, and being with those people, that community, that's a big part of Sabbath for some people. So it really kind of depends on exactly what you're saying, what you like, what you're interested in, how you operate. And there's not really a cookie cutter option for a Sabbath, because everybody's different. And so it's really about who God made you and how you can be with him best.
One thing I teach about too is how to identify whether it's truly rest or not. So when we rest, when we come out of a rest, we feel rejuvenated. We feel energetic. Like for example, for me, Monday is one of my favorite days of the week. I come into, unless I've been traveling, speaking, then I pick a different day. But usually, typically, if I'm home, I come into Monday excited for the week, just excited to get going again, you know, get working again. Yeah. And that's because I've had a rest off. Now, some people are like, you know how I relax is just in front of the TV. And my question for you is, if it's YouTube shorts or whatever it is, my question for you is, when you're done, when you're coming off of that, do you feel energized to work or do you want a nap? Do you feel exhausted? And that's one of the ways you can test. I always tell the story about when I was younger, I always thought like sitting in the sun, just sitting outside in the sun was very relaxing to me. Mm-hmm. However, when I came in from sitting in the sun, I always needed a nap. So it was like, it felt like it would have been, but it wasn't. And for my husband sitting in a whirlpool, he can get up out of a whirlpool. Like he would do the whirlpool in the morning. Mm-hmm. But if I do a whirlpool in the morning, I just need to take a nap. But if I swim laps in the morning, now energized swimming laps, that energizes me. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a little while for you to figure out what really truly does rest and rejuvenate you. As you're going forward, but I want to talk next about how this relates to other like spiritual disciplines too, because it's not just a standalone.
Correct. Yes. And for me, when I think about the other spiritual disciplines in my life, I, you know, have a daily scripture reading, some quiet abiding time, some prayer, things like that. So on my Sabbath days, I do that longer. All of those things that I do to connect with God are really magnified on those Sabbath days. But I find that my Sabbath is also a really good opportunity to figure out what's working for me the rest of the week. Especially our lives are so seasonal. And this is one thing that when we talk about disciplines, I just don't think we talk about enough about this either. The disciplines that you have, your devotional quiet time, your even your church attendance, your small group attendance, your Sabbath, all of those things that go into creating a Christian life, those are going to look different in different seasons of your life.
Absolutely.
When you are a mom with toddlers and babies, that's going to be a very different time of day that you meet with the Lord, even the amount of time that you're spending, the way you're connecting mm-hmm. relationally with others versus when you're an empty nester or if you are in school or working full-time versus working part-time. Like there's just so many variables mm-hmm. to our lives. And knowing, having a Sabbath and knowing how to use these disciplines on your Sabbath to kind of explore and craft the rest of your week really helps transition through those seasons better. Because nobody wants to, you know, if you're a new mom, for example, nobody wants to have a kid and all you're hearing is you're gonna be tired, sleep when the baby sleeps, and then all of a sudden you wake up, it's been 3 weeks and you haven't opened your Bible, you know? And so being able to have these Sabbath times where you can kind of explore what that looks like in different seasons is so, so important.
Yeah. And there's two things that came to mind as you were speaking about that. One is my first child, I was able to still just get with God pretty easily. But when I had the second one, no matter how early I got up, she would just wake up. She would hear me and she would be awake. And I was really frustrated. I was like, I don't even know how this can work. And at that point, what I did is I just said, God gets my top 10 minutes. Mm. So when both kids would go down for nap or whenever I saw an opportunity for at least 10 minutes of quiet, I would give God my top 10. And sometimes that's all he got because I was so exhausted that then I would just go to bed. But other times that would turn into 2 or 3 hours because I was so hungry for him.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, you know, there's seasons and don't become, I think the biggest concern in any of these spiritual disciplines is becoming religious about them. And God, Jesus really did not like religious people. He loved him, but he didn't love religious people.
Well, and even the word disciplines, I think I've had to redeem a lot of that definition for me. And I still use it because people understand what I am saying. But really in my everyday life, I don't use the word spiritual disciplines. I use spiritual rhythms because I think it speaks to that a little bit more, that seasonality of it. But it's just more of an inviting word and as opposed to discipline, you know, where it's because God is invitational. You know, he wants to meet with us. He's not forcing us, you know, and we shouldn't force ourselves or feel guilty about going into it either, you know. And I think that verbiage does make a difference sometimes.
It really does. It really does because it's a relationship. It's not something to check off our to-do list.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if I felt like my husband was something I needed to check off my to-do list every day, that would really be weird, you know?
Yeah.
And he would feel weird about it and I would feel weird about it. But when it's a relationship, we typically do certain things each day together. And then there's other things that we typically don't do together. And then there's the exceptions to every rule, right? So I think that's how it is with God too. And I know I've talked to so many gals who like felt so guilty about not doing more private times or more, you know, in-depth Bible studies or whatever. And it's like, you know, he's really not, like, there's not a rule.
not like a scorecard, like, no. Oh, you didn't finish it, or you didn't get something out of that Bible reading today, or you forgot to say amen in your prayer, you fell asleep instead. You know, he's not doing that.
He's not, actually. And what he wants us to do is just breathe him all the time, and then sometimes sit down and have a chat. You know, I mean, it's like, but we're supposed to be so connected with him that anytime we can just reach out to him in prayer, just with a help or whatever, thanks or whatever it is, just that he's that constant breath that we're having. So I love that. I love that, how it all kind of fits in together. Okay, so now we're going to come to the reasons why this can't possibly work for me. And honestly, I mean, I get this. It was, and not so much anymore, so hard, but boy, for a long time there, it was so much effort to try to clear that day that it's that same feeling I had when it would be coming up to the time of a vacation.
Yeah.
And you're scrambling. I mean, you're trying to get all this, you know, house ready, clothes ready, kids ready, travel, you know, all of this ready. And it's so, by the time you're almost ready to go, you're like, it's not worth it. I just don't never want to do this again. But then you get on vacation and you're like, oh, this was so worth it. This was so worth it. That's that same feeling that I have had, especially in earlier years, coming up to trying to carve out that day.
That's so funny, because that's exactly what I have in my notes too. Like, I think about when I have vacations scheduled, I am the most productive those three days before our vacation. And somehow, you know, you have this list that you don't ever think is going to get done. And even I would have things on my to-do list that had been there for weeks, but somehow 2 days before my vacation, they get done, right? Yeah. And I think that's a big piece of it, you know. I think this also is, it's, I don't want to say this to scare anybody, because there are so many hesitations people have already, but a friend of mine, she has done a lot. She has 6 kids and she has done a lot of work with Sabbath, and I don't have any kids. So the way that we prepare for our Sabbath is very different.
Totally different.
But having just 1 or 2 hours the night before to finish the laundry, finish the dishes, prep the crock pot, you know, whatever you need to do, having that prep time really helps. And it's just like you're saying, when you go to vacation, you somehow magically, all these things get done and you're busy and you're tired, but you still enjoy that vacation. And it was still restful, even if you had to push a little bit early, right? It's that same thing. That is something actually that is common to our culture, is pushing hard, right? At the end of a year, we push hard to finish year-end goals. If you're in corporate, you work hard to finish your quarterly goals. Yeah. There's so much that we have in us that we can do that push, but most people just don't follow that push with that rest. And that rest is really vital to your life, but also, like you're saying, to making that push worth it, and to having it all come full circle and be this beautiful time of abiding.
I'm going to have you share a short testimony of something that's happened to you since you started a Sabbath rest. I want to just say that for me, I learned that there is absolutely time to do everything God wants me to do.
Yeah.
There's not time to do everything. There's not time to do everything good. There's not time to do everything everybody else thinks I should do. There's not even time to do everything I wanted to do. But when I am doing Sabbath rest, when I am listening and walking with the Holy Spirit, what happens is there is so totally time to do everything God wants me to do. And it's not that there aren't hurry times and slower times. There are still, you know, we see one of the, I think it was Philip running up to catch up to the, you know, the chariot, you know, I mean, it's like, there's times to run. There's times to rest. But when we do it God's way, we have the energy when we need it. And we can trust that he's going to be accomplishing through our lives everything that he had in his mind before he created us. So what's something that's coming to your mind here as a testimony of how this has changed for you?
Well, I'll just speak specifically over the last couple of days as I'm kind of recovering from a cold. but before these past couple of days, I already had a week off, Right. And that's the worst thing is if you've got a week off of work and then you come back and day one, you're sick, you can't really focus or be as productive. And it just, it's kind of the, that reminder of like you're saying, it's all going to get done. God put the amount of hours in the day that I needed today. That's my daily bread. And tomorrow is my daily bread. And the next day is my daily bread. So whatever that rest is that I need, I need it. Mm-hmm. And that should be so joyful. Like that's just so freeing to submit to God in that way of trust, where you have your to-do list, you know what you want to get done, but you also know that you want to rest well, because that's how he created you to survive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah. Right.
I'll just say one more thing too about my husband and I. We each have a different Sabbath, and we haven't always had a separate Sabbath. In fact, for most families, that doesn't work. Most families, it works better to have one Sabbath, especially if you do have kids and kind of the whole family rests together. But this kind of goes back to the seasonal aspect we've talked about, and also the knowing what works better for each person individually. For him to have his rest day and then me to have my rest day the next day has been so helpful for us individually because we connect with God differently. Mm. But then at the end of his rest day, the end of my rest day, the next day is Sunday. And so then we've both rested individually with God, and we can come together with our church community and just with each other and have this beautiful time of corporate worship together. And it's been really cool to see how that rhythm has transformed us individually and as a unit, as a married couple.
I love that you brought up that it doesn't have to be a Sunday. You know, really, so many of you who are listening are either ministry leaders or speakers or something, that Sunday just doesn't work as a rest day. It's one of the hardest work days you have. That's okay. Doctors too. And, you know, police officers, there's all kinds of people that Sunday just isn't going to fly for. So it's fine. Whatever day of the week you take, that is that the key is that God set this pattern in place for us.
Yes.
It's not to ruin our lives. It's because he knows it makes our lives better. Yes. And it does take some work. But would you say that, you know, going on vacation is to ruin your life? No, of course not. But we have this kind of mental limitation mindset where we just think it can't possibly. It's the same with tithing. You know, like I started, it's the same with money. Yeah. We have a mindset that says, boy, if I give God what he's asking, that's just not going to work out for me. But what we find is when we do things his way, wow, it just works out so much better.
And it is. It's those little things that get in our brain that hinder us. Like I can imagine somebody would be watching right now saying, well, I don't work the same days every week. You know, some days I work Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Some weeks I work Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. How am I supposed to have a weekly Sabbath? And I say, have a wandering Sabbath. Pick a day that week, and then the next week it's a Wednesday. Right. And the next week it's a Tuesday.
Absolutely.
All these little things that we can get caught up on. It's like, just take a moment, take a deep breath, be a little creative about how God is not limited by that. He is not limited by those immediate thoughts that might come into our mind that hinder us from doing something that's for us and for him.
And I think the enemy's lie that he is always working on is that God is not as good as he says he is. You know, that this can't, this, you know, he says it's for good. That started with Eve, you know, he says it's good if you don't eat this fruit off this tree, but really it's not that good. You want to do the opposite of what he said, you know, and that's a temptation that's always and forever coming to us is we want to do the opposite of what God has called us to do. But what we find is the sooner we say yes, the sooner we do it his way, the more likely we are to experience the benefits that he knows are there for us instead of not ever even being able to experience them. And I love that you came at this saying, let's think about this day of rest as what brings you joy with Jesus. Just what brings you joy doing it with Jesus? Yeah. Is it sitting and doing a deep, deep Bible study? I mean, sometimes I just spend so much time on my day of rest, just deep Bible study. Other times I don't even hardly crack my Bible. Right. It can, you know, it just can be very, just like it can be a flowing day. Like if you travel a lot of weekends, but then not some weekend, you know, you just have it, fix it however it works for you. But let it be your time with Jesus and let him teach you what works really best for you. This has been so fun, Hannah. Wow. I love your heart and I love this topic. And you guys want to totally check out Hannah over at her website, which is hannahrowanfry.com. When they get over there, what are they going to find?
A couple different things. One is I have a weekly blog where I just talk about something I did that day, kind of similar to this discussion of just focusing on rest and being in the present moment. just taking those simple moments of each day and seeing how God shows up in them. So that's a really fun place to hang out, I think, is my blog. But you'll also find my newsletter and some different resources. I do a free devotional every month. I have a Spotify playlist on there for if you're interested in musical worship. There's just a few different things on there that I have created to help people grow in their life and faith.
Awesome. And you guys can also reach out to her to have her come speak for you over at womenspeakers.com. She's one of our featured speakers there. So thank you so much, Hannah, for being here. This was great.
Yes. Thank you so much, Marnie, for having me. I appreciate it. And good luck to everybody as we embark on a new year focused on growing in our faith.
Awesome. And thanks, you guys, for joining us. Can't do a program without having listeners. So thank you.